We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Who can sleep when there's so much Boston sports to talk about? This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'd actually like to address something, if that's okay.
No.
And oh, by the way, can we address the ground rules there? What is going on?
We're in a different era.
Ken Obrey from Boston, bro.
Didn't shower. Didn't use a towel. I got in the bed, out of the bed.
Stink up the joint.
Chris, I can't make this. You see the text, right?
It's not your money. What do you care?
Because it didn't happen that night.
He claims that he was taking testosterone. He was prescribed testosterone from a doctor because
Dad would say, pop that clutch, Dale. Let's go.
And you were waiting for the power, right? That's the one thing you were waiting for.
All right, here we go. You ready? 3, 2, 1.
Shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
All right, well, off we go. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so. The number 617-779-7937. That number again, 617-779-7937. I hope you enjoyed Monday Night Football right here on WEEI. I have to tell you this, that the call, I guarantee you, with Kevin Harlan and company, Tony Boselli, it was much better, and I love Kevin Harlan, big fan of Kevin Harlan. It was much better than what ESPN was giving the television audience. I can tell you that for a fact. This whole crew of Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarlane, that's not working out. Now, the NFL likes it because they don't say anything negative, although the one thing they will say things negative about is the officials. They have John Perry now on ESPN doing these broadcasts. He just officiated the Super Bowl last year. All this guy does is he goes out there and he just criticizes the officials. They're going back to calls in the games yesterday, and all ESPN did tonight was take shots at the officiating across the NFL. So apparently the NFL is fine now with the guys doing the broadcasts criticizing the officials, which is something they weren't okay with a couple of years ago when Sean McDonough was calling the games, because apparently the issue they had with Sean McDonough is he was too critical of the broadcast. Now all you do is you have this guy John Perry on there that wants to basically eviscerate the officiating in the NFL after just working in the league last year. It's stunning to me. So I will tell you this, the broadcast with Kevin Harlan and company was much better than the broadcast that ESPN put out there with Booger McFarlane and Joe Tessitore. At one point tonight, Booger McFarlane referred to Nick Chubb as the MVP of the Browns. Okay, this is a team with Baker Mayfield, the quarterback, Odell Beckham Jr., one of the five best receivers in the NFL, Jarvis Landry, Myles Garrett, who's going to be like a legitimate bona fide defensive player of the year candidate. So you have all these guys on the team, and Booger McFarlane on the broadcast tonight is legitimately calling Nick Chubb the MVP of the Browns. So yeah, it was a pretty bad broadcast for ESPN tonight. But anyway, the Browns win this game 23-3. The only takeaway I have from this game, of course, that you just heard here, is these teams play in the same league as the Patriots. It's really stunning to me that these teams that were on the football field tonight, they play on the same field as the Patriots. And the Patriots are going to play both these teams. They play the Jets next weekend. So the Jets in this game tonight, we already knew that Sam Darnold was not going to be available because he's dealing with mononucleosis. So he wasn't going to be available for the Jets. So Trevor Siemian was going to get the start, who was a starter for the Broncos for a couple of years. They thought he sucked. They got rid of him. He goes to Minnesota last year, doesn't take a single snap, comes out in this game tonight, ends up injuring his ankle. He's going to be further evaluated. So that means Luke Falk comes into the game. Who the hell is Luke Falk? Nobody knew who Luke Falk was before tonight. The only reason I remotely remembered him is because he threw for like a million yards at Washington State because he was playing for Mike Leach there when they have that air raid offense, if you will. So now you have two starting quarterbacks in the NFL going forward from Washington State, because apparently Trevor Siemian, we don't know the severity of his injury, but it did not look good. He was struggling to get off the football field, limping like crazy. So you're probably going to see Luke Falk again next week. And oh, by the way, Luke Falk, it was better than Trevor Siemian has ever been in his career. I mean, look, I get Siemian won a couple of games in his NFL career, but Falk actually didn't look that bad. Baker Mayfield was not impressive. 19 of 35 for 325 yards. One touchdown in this game. So the Jets, you get them next week. So you go, if you're the Patriots, from the opener against the Steelers, and we're finding out that Ben Roethlisberger was probably injured in that game, because apparently all week he was dealing with that elbow injury. So now Ben Roethlisberger lost for the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have that one to open up the season. Then you play the Miami Dolphins, one of the worst teams I think I've ever seen in my life. And then next week you're going to play the New York Jets, that it's not going to be much more of a challenge than the Miami Dolphins were. What are you scared about playing this Jets team? They have no receivers. They have Le'Veon Bell, and I guess that's it. And Le'Veon Bell, it's not like he was overly impressive tonight. I guess he can't be too impressive when the defense is just solely selling out to stop you, when you got nobody else on that team whatsoever. So things just got, not that they were not going to be already easy for the Patriots, but if you can imagine this, things are getting easier for the Patriots when you look at the schedule right now. What they did to the Dolphins yesterday was almost criminal. That was an utter embarrassment. You had a play yesterday where a guy on the Dolphins ducked when they were throwing him the football yesterday. So that game was just, oh, I mean, from the Patriots' perspective, all right, great. I mean, you beat them down and all that. But if you're a Dolphins fan, you got to be looking at that game last night like, what the hell is going on? Or yesterday, I should say. And now if you look at it going forward, the Dolphins are getting even worse. They just traded away during this game tonight. Adam Schefter had it. They traded Minka Fitzpatrick, who was begging for a trade all week. They traded him to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And somehow the Pittsburgh Steelers gave up a first-round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick. The Steelers are going nowhere this year. They have Mason Rudolph as their quarterback. Roethlisberger's done for the season. They're 0-2. And this is why some of these teams in the NFL are just so damn dumb. They traded away a first-round pick to bring over a defensive back who was just getting burnt last week by Hollywood Brown three different times. And they brought him over for a first-round pick. A great deal by the Steelers. This team could not be more clueless. Now you look at the Miami Dolphins. All right, so the Miami Dolphins have three first-round picks in 2020. Three first-round picks in 2020 going forward. Brian Flores, he's going to have to suffer through a lot. This is my hope for Flores. I hope they allow Flores to see this thing through, because it would be criminally unfair if Flores is in a situation going forward where he has to go through the crap portion of this and doesn't get to go through the possible success, right? Because this is a complete tank mode in every way, shape, or form. Because Minka Fitzpatrick with the Dolphins, he should have been part of the solution, right? He should have been part of some of the young guys that were going to be building this team for the future, so to speak. And now he's gone. He was a first-round pick in 2018. So you've traded away your left tackle. You've traded away one of your best defensive players in Minka Fitzpatrick, at least the guy on the roster with the most promise from a defensive perspective, even if he hasn't played that well so far this season. And you traded away a deep threat in Kenny Stills. So you have three first-round picks in 2020. The Dolphins are getting worse by the day. That is an utter embarrassment for the league right now, how bad that Dolphins team is on the football field. Ryan Fitzpatrick couldn't do anything yesterday. It looked like, essentially, do you know how some of these teams in college football, like Alabama and Georgia, etc., they will schedule teams to come play them for like $1 million? A lot of times it'll be FCS schools, but we see these teams will go to big venues, Tennessee, even though Tennessee sucks, but these type of big schools, right? Big time programs, they pay teams to come play them. That's what I felt like that game was yesterday for the Patriots. It was a glorified scrimmage. Like, honestly, what can you really take out of that game yesterday for the Patriots? Yeah, they beat down on them 43-0, but did you actually learn anything about the Patriots in terms of the product on the football field? Yeah, it was good to get Sony Michel going, but then he doesn't come back into the game after the fumble. But was there anything really that you learned about this Patriots team in that game yesterday? Because quite frankly, I didn't. The one thing I was looking forward to is to see what Antonio Brown looked like in this Patriots offense, and he looked dynamic. He had 8 targets in the game. He had 4 catches. He had a touchdown grab. Now, there was a case where him and Tom Brady weren't exactly on the same page, so to speak, where I put that more on Brady than I do Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's open in the end zone, and Brady couldn't throw him the football. Now, maybe he was expecting him to turn one way, and he turned the other, but it seemed like, to me, Brady had Antonio Brown open, and quite frankly, he just couldn't find him. So I guess that was the one thing you were looking forward to yesterday in that game, right? See what Antonio Brown looks like on the football field with Tom Brady and company, and he looked good. I mean, he looked fine. It didn't look like he was out of shape or not in football shape or anything along those lines. Obviously, he had a very limited package yesterday in terms of the routes they gave him. Belichick even alluded to the fact that they didn't have him in for everything, and his snaps were clearly limited. I'm sure he's still getting up to par with the playbook, but the bottom line is, if he's open, Brady's going to throw him the football. That's the reality of the situation in terms of what you're going to do with Antonio Brown going forward. But really, in that game yesterday, we didn't learn anything about this Patriots team, and I don't think you're going to learn anything about the Patriots for the next couple of weeks, because what are you going to learn from a Jets game?
The Patriots are going to beat this team down so badly next week, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly once again. And now you look at this Patriots team, I started to hear the chatter about the 16-0 and could they do it again? And you really look at the schedule, it's really in the cards because the AFC is a joke right now. The Steelers were supposed to be at least a competitive football team. You already beat them down. They're without their quarterback now. We saw this Browns team play, who the Patriots will play later on in the season. They play tonight. Is anybody impressed with the Browns? First of all, they have no offensive line. They can't protect Baker Mayfield whatsoever. And Mayfield hasn't been impressive whatsoever. And that team with all those divas, you think they're going to beat the Patriots? I mean, come on. You had Odell Beckham Jr. last week getting fined for a watch. And then this week, he can't be on the field during a play in the red zone because he's got an illegal visor on. Come on, that's the team. And Freddie Kitchens running things, who's got his quarterback at the end of this game on the football field taking a sack. He's throwing the ball on third down with like 30 seconds left in the game. Baker Mayfield's taking a sack. That team has no business being on the same field as the Patriots. The only threats the Patriots have on the schedule is, all right, so from a divisional standpoint, the Bills are decent. They have a defense, but they don't have the offense to keep up with this team. You look at, all right, the Chiefs. That's a legitimate opponent, but that's not until week 16, and that game is at Foxborough. Now we've seen Lamar Jackson, who looks a lot better in year two than he did in year one. He has 7 touchdown passes through the first couple of games, although they've only played Miami and Arizona, who's going to be in the family photo for the second worst team in the NFL. So I want to see a little bit more from Lamar Jackson, but that team looks to be like at least a threat. And anytime I see the Ravens uniform, you think, yeah, that could be a difficult game because the Ravens always play the Patriots tough. Now, the other team on the schedule that would be a tough game is the Eagles. That game is in Philly, although if you watched that game yesterday on Sunday Night Football, you didn't come away too impressed with the Philadelphia Eagles. They did not look good last night, and they continue to pile up injuries. And who knows if Carson Wentz is even going to be available at that particular point in time, because Carson Wentz is somebody that we've seen is just reckless, puts himself in bad positions to take hits. That's why he continually gets hurt. I had to leave the game yesterday for a little bit because he had to get evaluated to see if he had a concussion and whatnot. So then the other team would be the Cowboys, who the Cowboys actually do look legitimate, but I don't see the Patriots losing to the Cowboys at home. So that whole thing about the 16-0 talk, it's actually becoming real for the Patriots now, because if you look at the way the schedule kind of works itself out and the way this Patriots team looks, it seems like this is something that is a possibility for this team, yet they don't, of course, want to talk about it. But I also look at it from a defensive perspective. This is the best defense the Patriots have had in ages, and it could go down. This defense legitimately has the chance to be the best Patriots defense we've ever seen. Now, I understand 01, 03, 04, they had all great defenses. 2014 was a great defense. But think about how this team has started the season. They've given up 3 points, and I get that they have not played premier opponents. But these guys, from a defensive perspective, most of them have been in this system for years. The only new guys you're bringing in are essentially that are going to be major contributors, so to speak. The only new guys, Michael Bennett, who we know is a very smart football player, who Bill Belichick loves. That was like the number one thing the Patriots were trying to slow down in the Super Bowl was stop 72, which was Michael Bennett. So the only new guys are really Michael Bennett, and Jamie Collins is a new guy, but he's an old new guy because he used to play for the team. So the difference with this Patriots defense coming into this season, everybody knows what they're doing. Everybody knows the system. And I heard yesterday Dan Fouts on the broadcast saying there's no superstars in this defense. They're just all solid, and they all do their job. Hold on. Hold on, Dan. 1 second here. Stephon Gilmore was a first-team All-Pro last year. So there is actually a superstar on this defense. His name's Stephon Gilmore. There's also a guy like Michael Bennett who's had an outstanding career. He's a dominant pass rusher at times. That guy's a really good player. Hightower's been a really good player for a number of years. McCourty's been a really good player at the safety position. So to say that this defense doesn't have superstars, I mean, that's a little ridiculous. They don't have Aaron Donald, but who else has Aaron Donald? They have arguably the best cornerback in the NFL and the cornerback that ranked as the number one corner in the NFL last season. All right, a lot more to get into. The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board here. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. I'll get into everything that has gone on with Antonio Brown. Another news story breaking with Antonio Brown today. I'll get into that in just a little bit. But one more observation I want to make after this Monday Night Football game before I move on. I have to say that the NFL red zone may be the best invention in the history of the NFL. Because if you think about it, this is a standalone game tonight, right? So we're talking about how crappy this game was tonight because it's a standalone game. If this game is just in the 1 o'clock window yesterday, we're not talking about how crappy that is. So that's what the NFL has done with this red zone channel, is it has completely changed your viewing experience. Honestly, if the Patriots aren't playing a game at 1, are you watching any game by itself? I'm certainly not, because look at all the games that sucked yesterday. Okay, the Chargers and the Lions was a 13-10 game. That game was terrible. The Colts and the Titans, 19-17. That was terrible. But you know what Red Zone does? It makes some of these awful games look good. Like the Texans-Jaguars game, 13-12. Awful football game. Awful football game last night, or yesterday, 13-12. But it was interesting at the end because Doug Marrone decided to go for two at the end of the game. So we got to see that. We got to see the drama of the game. Same thing later on in the 4 o'clock window. You had the Bears and the Broncos. It was a 16-14 football game. It was an awful game, but it was exciting at the end because the Broncos score at the end there. They go for two to take a 14-13 lead. And then at the end of the game, the Bears come down the field and they kick a field goal, rather, to win the football game. So what Red Zone does is it masquerades a horrible game by just showing us 30 seconds at the end, which was like an actual quality product. So what this does, the Red Zone, it takes away from the awful games that we used to have to watch, right? Like, even if you just have DirecTV, the ticket, yeah, you may have a bunch of games, but who knows which game's going to be good, right? With the Red Zone, you never miss anything, and you get to see all the good parts of the game and none of the bad parts of the game, which is just a genius idea by the NFL. And now, if I was CBS and if I was Fox, this would irritate me. Now, I get that in the 4 o'clock window, so to speak, they get great games. But just think about it from this perspective. It's cannibalizing the market, because when Pittsburgh was playing last week here against the Patriots, during the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock hours, I didn't watch one game full. I just watched the Red Zone channel. I didn't miss anything. So if I'm CBS or I'm Fox, I'm like, I'm losing out on ratings because of the NFL's Red Zone channel. And that's why the NFL Red Zone will never release its numbers, because it would hurt itself in terms of its negotiations with Fox and with CBS in the future in terms of what those ratings are going to be. But in terms of us, in terms of the product, this is the most genius idea ever. It's the most genius idea ever, because all you have to do is watch one channel the whole time and you're never going to miss anything. The only thing you're going to miss is the crappy part of these games, which is just a phenomenal idea by the NFL. Whoever invented this, it's just an absolute genius, because it reminds me tonight when you watch a crappy game like this that's standalone, that during the weekend you don't have to deal with that crap. Same thing with like Thursday night. These Thursday night games that usually don't deliver. Last week was, I mean, it was not a great product, but at least it was better than the first week. But like the first week, that Green Bay and Chicago game, if it's not on Thursday night, it's not a standalone game. It's in the middle of the 1 o'clock windows and nobody cares about it because the game stinks. We get to see like the drama when Rodgers throws the touchdown pass and that's it. Man, great invention by the NFL. All right, a lot more to get into, including coming up next. I want to get into this Antonio Brown situation. Sports Illustrated revealed an article today about Antonio Brown. Some new allegations in terms of sexual misconduct made against Antonio Brown. Nothing criminally and nothing that at this point is going to be brought to court. In fact, it's an anonymous person that brings across these allegations about Antonio Brown. But some new developments in this story and what's going to happen with Brown going forward now that Brittany Taylor was scheduled to meet with the NFL on Monday. We'll get into all that. Brian Barrett with you. The number 617-779-7937. This is WEEI Late Night.
That's why I say also sort of next level thinking in terms of like the ones that have to speak to it in the locker room, there's a sense of irritation.
Yeah.
Irritation. Now, I've been irritated with my organization before when I was there for 13 years. Sure. So I'm not afraid to say it, but irritated with the organization and with Coach Belichick just a little bit, because Coach, we feel in this locker room, we can make a serious championship run, another championship run without this player.
Right. Right.
But you've dropped this distraction bomb right in here, and now we've got to deal with it. So hopefully this works out for him.
All right, that was Teddy Bruschi yesterday on NFL Countdown, or whatever you call ESPN's pregame show. It's a really good point by Teddy Bruschi. If you're a teammate of Antonio Brown, this has to be aggravating to you, right? Like, remember last week Matthew Slater said, I'm speaking from the Patriots' perspective. I'm speaking for the Patriots. He wasn't basically going out there and sticking up for Antonio Brown, because it's one thing when you have a guy with all this stuff going on, all this baggage, so to speak, but he's been with the organization for a number of years. Most of the guys in this Patriots team, some of them know Antonio Brown. They all know who he is, but none of them really know Antonio Brown that well, and they're faced with questions ever since the guy's been here each and every day about this particular player, and the only one that's not talking to the media is Antonio Brown, yet all the teammates have to answer questions about him. Now, Josh Gordon's up at the podium yesterday after the game, and he's talking about Antonio Brown. So all the players have to
answer for Antonio Brown. And Teddy Bruschi saying, look, this team won the Super Bowl last year. We feel like we were good enough to begin with. Why would you want to bring in this guy that's going to distract us? So I can totally understand where Teddy Bruschi is coming from and why a player in the locker room would be aggravated with the situation. Brian Barrett with you right here, WEI Late Night. The number is 617-779-7937. Let's get to Rick. He is in Plymouth. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, you know, I just got back from Miami, actually. That was the absolute worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I'm sitting in 100-degree heat, for Christ's sakes. That team should not be allowed to schedule a game before 4 o'clock until Halloween. I'm sorry. But
yeah,
that
and Rick,
being
the
said,
field was a mess, too. I mean, they had played a game there the day before, the Miami Hurricanes had, so they kept having issues with the field as well, not to mention it was Tom Brady said earlier today on EEI that it was the hottest game he ever played in.
I saw them fixing a portion of the field during play yesterday, out around midfield. Something turned up. All I heard all weekend from Dolphin fans is, we're tanking for Tua. We're tanking for Tua. That's all I heard all weekend long. Now, here's the part that bothers me. The NHL has it. The NBA has it. Why does the NFL, in its infinite wisdom, not have a draft lottery? They should have at least a 5-16 draft lottery. So teams like this, like Indy did for Andrew Luck, like the Dolphins are doing right now, like the Jets are probably doing right now. I mean, this is the most, you have to be able to prevent teams from doing this.
Well, Rick, I think to your point, this is the most aggressive we've seen a team tank. So the Browns did it a couple of years ago, but then it got kind of cut off like halfway through the process. Remember, they fired the guy, Sashi Brown, that was basically in charge of all this. But this is the most aggressive a team's ever been in terms of the tanking. And if they get the number one pick and they continue to trade guys away like this, they traded away the left tackle, they traded away Minkah Fitzpatrick. If they continue to do stuff like this, I think you will see the NFL start to talk about this, because this really is a bad look for the sport. It really is.
This is borderline, I don't know how to put this, borderline Pete Rose garbage. Honestly, this is throwing a football game. I'm sorry. This should be severe penalties for this. And
right.
I'm not saying this because the Dolphins are a division rival. I don't like the Dolphins, don't get me wrong. They had to play that stupid fight song at the end of the third period because they couldn't put a point up on the board. But, I mean, the bottom line is this is against the rules in – I mean, if this were the Patriots, what would they be saying about this? I mean, honestly, if this were New England without Tom Brady, what would they be saying about the Patriots right now?
Right. It's a fair point. I appreciate the phone call, Rick. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. So a lot of different things to get to there. So the first thing is this. I actually understand what the Dolphins are doing organizationally, right? They're building up this franchise for a long-term run. So they're thinking to themselves, all right, we've been a mediocre team with Ryan Tannehill. We got rid of him. So let's just acquire a bunch of draft picks, get a whole lot of bites at the apple, plural, and see what we can do. Okay, so I understand where they're coming from an organizational standpoint. The problem is you're putting players on the field. So how can you look the guys in your locker room and say, hey, we're going out here, we're trying to win, when you're trading away all the good players? So I understand what they're doing. They may get Tua. Tua may turn out to be one of the best players in the history of the NFL. Who knows? Maybe he's really going to be that damn good and this all works for the Dolphins. But the problem that the league's going to run into, if this does work out for the Dolphins, if the Dolphins hit on a quarterback and Tua Tagovailoa turns out to be this unbelievable 10-time Pro Bowl or whatever the case may be, or even worse, say, right, well, not worse, but when he comes into the league, he takes the league by storm, he has a rookie year like Baker Mayfield, but the Dolphins are actually winning games. And it looks like, oh, hey, after 1 year, the Dolphins got Tua, and it looks like they're on the right track. You know what's going to happen if that works out? You're going to see more and more teams around the league that start to tank. So that's where the NFL is going to run into a problem. They're hoping it doesn't work out for Miami, because if it doesn't work out for Miami, you're not going to see a ton of teams try to duplicate this. We've had this in the NBA, but people in the NBA are just fine with it, apparently. They're just fine with teams tanking because they have the lottery system, if you will. That's going to happen with the NFL more and more if this whole thing with Tua Tagovailoa turns out to work out and Miami gets Tua. He turns out to be a stud, and Miami looks like it's on its way to being a big-time competitor in the near future. That's the issue the league will run into. I want to get to some of this Antonio Brown stuff, though. So Sports Illustrated puts out this article today. Robert Klemko was the author. He said this: SI conducted interviews with more than 24 people who have been employed for, worked for, coached, or played alongside Antonio Brown. Some who have taken legal action against him and others who have not. and reviewed police and court documents from jurisdictions ranging from Miami to Pittsburgh to Oakland. In half a dozen lawsuits, he is accused of refusal to pay wages to former assistants and part-time employees. Court documents and interviews also suggest a pattern of disturbing, sometimes bizarre behavior, including SI has learned a second woman's allegations of sexual misconduct by Brown. So that's the one that sticks out to you, right? Because a lot of these other stories that are in this article by Robert Klemko, we have heard of before. For example, the story came out months ago that Antonio Brown didn't pay a chef at the Pro Bowl. Larry Foote, former assistant coach with the Arizona Cardinals, longtime Steeler linebacker, we all remember him. He recommended the chef to Antonio Brown for the Pro Bowl, and Antonio Brown was hosting a party in the Orlando area, has these guys come over to cook for him, never pays him. Okay, so there's a bunch of those type of stories that we had already known about, but the one that sticks out to you is they reference sexual misconduct. So Klemko notes that neither Drew Rosenhaus nor Brown's lawyer, Darren Heitner, responded to SI's email in terms of the list of questions. Now, after the story was published, Heitner did tweet that Brown had reviewed the new sexual misconduct allegations against him and denies that he ever engaged in such activity. So let's get to that. So sexual harassment allegations. This is new, this one. So in June of 2017, allegedly, Brown agreed to host a charity softball game in Pittsburgh. Now, this isn't alleged. This actually happened. To host a charity softball game in Pittsburgh to benefit the National Youth Foundation, a Pennsylvania-based all-volunteer group of women that promotes inclusion and gender equality, as well as developing academic skills in kids. Now, during an auction of artwork donated by regional artists, Brown noticed a portrait of himself as well as its artist, a woman in her late 20s, from out of state. Sports Illustrated contacted the artist, who requested anonymity, in order to speak candidly about her dealing with Brown, which she had not previously revealed publicly. Okay, so according to one of the organization's co-founders, Brown liked the painting so much of himself that he trumped the would-be winning bid of $450 with a $700 offer to buy it himself. Of course he did. This is a photo of Antonio Brown, right? A photo of Antonio Brown or a portrait of Antonio Brown. And somebody bid $450 on it. And Antonio Brown liked it so much. Again, this is a portrait of himself. He liked it so much. He said, hey, no, no, no. So somebody bid $450. I'm going to pay $700 for this. So he bid $700. Now, I should note that he never paid that $700. He just said, hey, I'll pay you $700 in the future. So he liked the portrait so much that he invited the artist, the female artist, to come to his home in the northern suburbs of Pittsburgh to create another painting of him. This time, a mural on a wall in his home. The artist says that Brown agreed to a daily fee of $1,000 for her work and sent a van transport from her from New York City to Western Pennsylvania. Now, on the second day that she was there, the artist alleges that at one point she was in a kneeling position while painting and turned to find Brown behind her naked, holding a small hand towel over his genitals. According to the artist, he was flirty with me, she said, but I paid him no mind because I was there on business. Plus, I had already seen him with multiple girls in the short time I was with him. She was with him for 2 days, by the way. This is me talking. For 2 days. How many women could he have been with in 2 days? So she says, I was about 40% done on the second day, and I'm on my knees painting the bottom, and he walks up to me butt-ass naked with a hand cloth covering his man part. I put man part in. I don't know if I can say the other word. And starts having a conversation with me. She took it as a clear sexual come-on. She said, unfortunately, I've been tried by men a lot of times, so I just kept my cool and kept painting after all that ended abruptly. Okay, so anyway, she says essentially that Antonio Brown's just hanging out there. She's kneeling, painted a portrait of him, a mural of him. She comes out, or he comes out of the bathroom or wherever he came from. She turns around, she's kneeling, and she sees him just with a towel over his man region there. So that's what she alleges. By the way, they claim that Brown never paid the $700 for the original painting. He paid for her services for the two other days, but apparently he never paid the $700 that he owes her. Now, there's a lot more stories like this in terms of him not paying the money, but the sexual misconduct, that type of situation, that's a new detail that we had not heard. That story is new. We just saw that today. Now, there's apparently some domestic violence issues as well. Now, a couple of these we have heard from in the past, but there are some new ones in this as well. So, apparently, there was one of the mothers of one of his children, his daughter. On January 18th, Brown allegedly had an altercation with Wiltress Jackson, who Brown has a daughter with. Jackson arrived at Brown's Hollywood residence seeking reimbursement for their daughter's hair appointment. A shouting match ensued as Brown refused to let her into his residence. This is according to Sports Illustrated. And per the report, Brown pushed her, causing her to fall backward. Jackson suffered a cut on her left forearm. The next day, Jackson arrived at the Hollywood Police Department to say she didn't want to press charges and none were ever filed. Brown's attorney, Darren Hittner, released a statement at the time and said this, quote, "The close police report proves that Antonio Brown did absolutely nothing wrong." Well, I don't know about that. That's a far leap to say just because she decided not to essentially press charges that nothing happened and nothing was wrong there. That's a little bit of a situation there with the lawyer just saying that, oh, well, because she didn't press charges, nothing went wrong. Now, if you remember, too, there was a situation where police were dispatched to his Pittsburgh area home on domestic disturbance calls three times in the last 4 years. Each incident involved his longtime girlfriend, Chelsea Chris, is I believe how you say her name, the mother of three of his five children. None of those resulted in an arrest, but according to the police report on August 17th, or on August of 2017, Chris accused Brown of throwing a bottle of cologne and a bottle of lotion at her during an argument, then leaving for a preseason game. Officers observed no injuries to Chris, who, according to the report, was hesitant to pursue charges for fear of affecting Brown's career. Okay, now this is a situation of Antonio Brown being portrayed in this next one as a deadbeat father. So in May of 2018, Brown called police to his home claiming that Chris took his credit card in a Range Rover. Chris was in the vehicle with the credit card when police arrived. Chris told police that Brown intended to fly to California without providing adequate funds for her to take care of their children while he was gone. Brown gave the officers $500 to give Chris in exchange for the credit card. Chris claimed she needed $1,000, but Brown refused to give her any more money. Officers were unable to settle the dispute, which to their knowledge did not turn out to be violated, and after suggested that Brown attempted to speak to Chris with another mediator. So basically what we find out is Brown didn't want to pay the $1,000 that essentially the mother of his child said she needed instead of the $500. She had the credit card, and he essentially said, well, I want the credit card back, and I'll give you $500, not $1,000 for the three kids that he has with this particular woman. So basically the point of the Sports Illustrated article was to paint Antonio Brown in a bad light. Now, there are a couple of news stories, but a lot of these stories are stuff that we heard in the past. But what doesn't work out well for Antonio Brown is today you had Brittany Taylor, who has accused Antonio Brown in that civil suit of raping her and on two different occasions sexually harassing her. This comes out the same day that she's meeting with the NFL. So we know the NFL is all about optics and is all about PR. This is bad optics for the league that this article comes out about Antonio Brown today. And there's all these stories. There's at least four of them where he didn't pay people, okay? And then there's the accusations of sexual misconduct. And we all know that he went back into, did Robert Klemko, domestic violence issues. Now, he's never charged in any of these cases, but multiple domestic violence issues that we have heard about in the past, but now he puts this back out there again. So what you're looking at from Antonio Brown is you're looking at a guy that's been accused of domestic violence, although never charged. He's been accused of sexual assault, and now there's an accusation, another accusation of sexual misconduct. There's multiple accusations of essentially him not paying money that he owes people for stuff in business relationships. So this just paints Antonio Brown in a really, really bad light. And I'm wondering how teammates are going to start to respond to Antonio Brown with all the stuff that's come out now in terms of all the baggage that comes with this particular player. And they're constantly having to answer questions about this particular player. And quite frankly, they don't even know the guy that well. They don't even know the guy that well. And they're forced to ask question, answer question after question after question as it pertains to the star wide receiver of the team, Antonio Brown. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Paul. He's in Westfield. What's up, Paul?
Good evening, Professor Barrett. How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing?
Well, after the least amount of points ever given up by a Belichick team, and after never being shut out at home, and after going back to 1963 versus Oakland with the biggest point differential, the 2-0 Patriots are, what, 90-6 and haven't given up a touchdown since the AFC Championship game of last year?
Yeah.
This sucks.
Yeah, I think we're losing you, Paul. Yeah, but this is a team right now that I told you they should have a legitimate argument to go 16-0. Not that it's an argument. They're going to have to actually do it on the football field. But you look at this schedule, this is a team that has an opportunity to go 16-0. And back to this whole situation with Antonio Brown, I'm just wondering when this is going to start to aggravate some of the players. You heard Teddy Bruschi alluding to it. But it's each and every day with Antonio Brown where there's a new story that develops. And these guys are having to go out there and answer questions about Antonio Brown. And I imagine that not many of the players on this Patriots team know the history of Antonio Brown. And after today, they're going to know the history of Antonio Brown, where there's all this stuff where he didn't pay people in business relationships, et cetera, stuff like that, where he's accused on multiple different occasions of domestic violence, where he's accused of sexual misconduct, where he's facing a civil suit. They know about that, but that's the only thing they really knew about. Now, I'm sure some of the guys knew some of the baggage with Antonio Brown, but do you think they knew everything that was in that Sports Illustrated article? Now, I don't think this changes anything in terms of the NFL, in terms of a suspension or the exempt list or anything along those lines. And there's nothing new in this story that I think the NFL is really going to seriously investigate. I don't see anything new. Again, the woman that accuses him of the sexual misconduct, that's anonymous, right? It's not like she came out, filed charges or anything. That's an anonymous thing, which we've seen with the civil suit. He's denied that. The one thing that I would say doesn't look great for Antonio Brown today, and not that this article looks great from the article, looks absolutely atrocious for Antonio Brown, but the one thing today that doesn't look good for Antonio Brown is what came out yesterday, that Antonio Brown was in negotiations with Brittany Taylor about a possible settlement. She apparently wanted $2 million. So they've been in talks in terms of a settlement for months, okay? So let me ask you this. If he is basically countersuing her for extortion, why have they been in negotiations for months? Does that look good for Antonio Brown? If somebody accuses you of rape and you know that you didn't do it, wouldn't you just be saying, this is ridiculous, you're trying to extort me, rather than saying, okay, we'll have negotiations for months on end trying to decide whether or not Antonio Brown was going to pay her off? That's what I feel like looks really bad for Antonio Brown at this particular point in time. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to hop on board, the number 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on Antonio Brown, the situation with the Miami Dolphins yesterday, was that actually a football game that the Patriots played? Is it bad for the league what the Dolphins are doing as well? We'll get to all that, but we'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
What's been your reaction to Antonio Brown?
Sometimes it's kind of hard to overcome, like, when a lot of negative things are happening, or when people are saying a lot of negative things about you. It's like a snowball effect, right? Even when it happened to me, and I had my suspensions and things like that, I don't ever want to get too low on myself. I hope, Antonio's doing the same thing. If I had to give him advice, that's what I'm giving. If you know AB personally, you'll know that he's like a good person. He's not trying to really harm anybody. You know, he just, maybe something he wants and he got to go achieve it. But he might go a different way about it than other people would. But, it is what it is.
All right, well, that's Le'Veon Bell, the new star of the 0-2 Jets, sticking up for his former teammate, Antonio Brown. I don't think a lot of people agree with Le'Veon Bell at this particular point in time, because what we're finding out is we know about the civil suit, but we also have the issue with Mike Mayock with the Raiders, where he challenged him to a physical altercation. And now we found out that there's people all over the place that have sued this guy because he hasn't paid them. He had a cook at the Pro Bowl that he didn't pay, okay? Now we're learning about this guy, Dr. Victor Prisk. How about this one? This is one of the most bizarre stories. So he's a former gymnast and a bodybuilder who runs a company called Prisk Orthopedics and Wellness. It's located in Pennsylvania. So Brown goes in for a visit, and he starts ripping farts numerous times in Prisk's vicinity while Prisk was testing his body fat. You can see the video, by the way. It's online. Antonio Brown himself posted, or his guy posted, the video of Antonio Brown getting examined by this doctor, is like testing his body fat. He's just ripping farts as this whole thing's going on. And Antonio Brown himself posted this video. Okay, the doctor said this. Yeah, there it is right there. My bad, doc. The doctor said, quote, "It seemed just childish to me. I'm a doctor and the man is farting in my face." I would think so, too. It's a little unprofessional. Now, Prisk took Brown on as a client, as a wellness coach. He was basically, that was his title. So they had an oral agreement for him to be paid $500 an hour. But when the doctor brought up payments, Chris says that Brown would shift the conversations to ways that he dreamed up for the two to partner in business. Brown never paid him. Prisk filed suit in Pennsylvania. He's seeking $11,500. The suit is still pending. So this is a guy that's suing him. Now, there's a bunch of stories like this. Now, the chef at the Pro Bowl, he wants $38,000 from Antonio Brown that he apparently didn't pay him. So you get all these guys that are suing Antonio Brown on top of all the other stuff. The domestic violence allegations, or not allegations, the instances of alleged domestic violence where no charges were officially filed. You have the sexual misconduct with the woman who is painting a mural at his house. Now, he has denied that. His lawyer came out and denied that today. And, of course, you have the civil suit with Brittany Taylor. So you have all this stuff going on with Antonio Brown. And my question is this. How are his teammates going to react? So now when I look at it from Antonio Brown's angle, he can't mess up with his Patriots team at all. And I'm not talking about just like messing up, like having a big issue, because obviously saying, well, obviously, Brian, if he screws up, he's done, right? But I'm talking about this. He can't show up late. He can't complain about touches. He can't do any of that crap. If he does any of that crap, how do you think his teammates are going to react? These guys barely know the guy, and they're out there answering questions about him, and he himself is not answering questions. The Patriots won't let him answer questions. Remember yesterday, the guy was out of the locker room before the media was in there. His name tag was taken off, and the NFL's investigating that in terms of the Patriots doing that, because you're not supposed to be able to just have a player not be available to the media, and instead all the other teammates are answering questions about this guy. So if he slips up at all, if there's an issue with targets, if there's an issue with playing time, if there is him in a meeting like we saw with the Raiders, he's on his phone, right? If there's those type of issues with the Patriots, these teammates are going to turn on him real quickly, real quickly. Because this is a team that won the Super Bowl a season ago. And the headline of this season so far, it's all about Antonio Brown. It's not about the dominating defense. It's given up 3 points all year. It's not about this team dominating through the first 2 weeks of the season, that this Patriots team is incredible right now. That's not the storyline. The storyline with this team is Antonio Brown. The number one question for all the players on the Patriots right now is Antonio Brown. They have to answer all those questions. So this guy, if he does anything that even remotely resembles being a bad teammate, these guys are going to turn on Antonio Brown so damn quickly. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you, WEI Late Night. Let's get to Chris. He's in Westerly. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Driving home on second shift. I like listening to you guys on the radio.
Thanks, man.
Not a problem. So my big thing is that the Patriots have been through this before, where they've gone through certain controversies that have affected certain players and obviously affected the whole team. So this isn't their first time going through this. And it obviously, you know, affected their performance then and hopefully doesn't affect them now. But I think that, you know, the Patriots have the reason that they're so good isn't because of one specific player. It's because they have a process in play that makes them debatably the best team in the NFL. So whether Antonio Brown is there or not, I think they'll still be able to go to the Super Bowl this year and definitely take it.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Chris. They can definitely go to the Super Bowl without Antonio Brown. They just did it. They just won the Super Bowl last year. They were 11-5. They didn't have Antonio Brown. And quite frankly, even without Antonio Brown. So if you just took Antonio Brown out of the equation, this team right now is significantly better than the 2018 version of the Patriots. They're already significantly better than that team. That's why I'm wondering, like Teddy Bruschi said, if some of the players are starting to say, Bill, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to go get this guy? Now, I know everybody was singing Kumbaya. Brady likes him. Edelman likes him. Josh Gordon apparently likes him. I understand it from that perspective. But now a news story comes out. And now you're going to answer more questions about Antonio Brown and more questions about Antonio Brown. And these guys don't have a relationship with Antonio Brown. So they're answering questions about a guy that they barely know. He's been on the team for, what, a week and a half, and they're answering all these questions about him week after week after week. That's why I'm saying, or day after day after day, I should say, he hasn't even been here for weeks. That's why I'm saying, from a Patriots perspective, in terms of a guy that's on the team, if this dude screws up once, these guys are going to turn on him. Let's get to Joe. He's in New Hampshire. What's up, Joe?
You know, it's sad how much you're enjoying this negativity. It should be about how good this team is doing.
Well, how am I enjoying it? How am I enjoying it? Hold on, Joe. Joe, how am I enjoying the negativity?
You are making the show about it. If this is your show.
Yeah.
Joe,
what's the bigger story right now? That the Patriots are 2-0 or that all this is going down with Antonio Brown?
For me, 1,000% the football team.
Yeah.
And Antonio Brown was
a good teammate
on Sunday, was a good teammate. He came in with enthusiasm. And when he was on the bench, he was yelling. He was a good cheerleader for the team. When the defense came off the field, he was the first one running on the field, shaking everybody's hand. He was a good teammate. The kid comes from a bad childhood with no guidance.
Okay, Joe, but now a lot of people come from a bad childhood.
I hope his life now, and he learns from being around a good family like the Patriots are. And you, shame on you for the wallowing the negativity. Shame on you.
All right, Joe. What do you mean wallowing in the negativity? I'm outlining the story that happened today in Sports Illustrated. I'm not making stuff up. This is stuff that has been reported. This is stuff where, in terms of the issue with the doctor and the issue with the cook from the Pro Bowl, rather, these are real things. He is being sued by these people for not paying them for their services. Like, these are real things. And I'm sorry that Antonio Brown is a bigger storyline than the Patriots beating a team that's not trying to win. That's the reality of the situation. Antonio Brown himself is the biggest story on the Patriots right now. That's it. He's the number one story. He's the number one thing that people want to talk about is what's going to happen with Antonio Brown. Let's get to Michael. He's in South Boston. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm kind of maybe on the outside on this, but I think Antonio Brown is smart enough to realize that he's in a really good position now. And
sure.
He has a chance to win a Super Bowl. And with an ego like his, I think he's going to feed into it and run this till the end. He knows that this could be his greatest season ever. After this, he may, crap out and never be heard from again, but I think he's going to run with this. He's going to step in line and just enjoy the ride. This could be the greatest NFL team ever.
And
he has a chance to glorify himself, and based on that and his ego, I think he's going to be all in for it. He's going to step in line with the Patriot way and just suck it up. And probably come the end of the Super Bowl, he could possibly be the MVP and have the greatest season ever. I think he's all in for it.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Michael. We'll see about the Super Bowl MVP. That's a long time away. First of all, they got to get to the Super Bowl, and then if he plays well in the Super Bowl, I mean, in all likelihood, we've seen, two receivers with the Patriots get MVPs, Edelman and Deion Branch years ago. Most of the time, it's going to be the quarterback. I don't want to get into a Super Bowl MVP conversation, but nonetheless, it's fine if you think he's going to be on his best behavior, and he should be in terms of what he's going to do on the football field. There shouldn't be any issues with the team, but we still don't know what his status is going to be going forward with this team. He's going to have a meeting with the NFL. Let's get to Christian in Connecticut. What's up, Christian?
Hey, what's going on? I was just listening to you talk on the radio. And, I'm thinking, you're saying that all these guys have to answer all these questions about, they don't know who he is, but the press is asking, all the teammates about these questions about him.
Right.
None of those guys are going to talk about him. You'd be like, you want to talk? No, I'm not going to. No, we're not talking about him.
Right, but Christian, don't you think they're going to get?
The Patriots do it.
Exactly.
Patriots don't talk about.
I understand what you're saying, Christian, but don't you think they're going to get sick and tired of having to answer questions about this guy?
But they're not answering questions. They're just going to dodge them.
Josh Gordon was answering questions about him yesterday at the podium.
I won't say dodge them, but they're going to try to bypass them.
Fair enough. But Christian, yesterday Josh Gordon was answering questions about it.
What'd he say?
He was asked about Antonio Brown. He gave like a 90-second answer on Antonio Brown, the player, and all this different type of stuff.
And how'd that go?
What do you mean, how did it go?
I mean, we can play the answer if you want. Imagine that being on the Patriots with Bill Belichick, you have to be in line, and the guys aren't going to talk about when they get questions.
Sure, but Christian,
about
they're
going to deflect or not answer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I appreciate the phone call. But don't you think there's any part of a Patriot today that's like, oh, this Sports Illustrated article comes out? wait, look at all this stuff about Antonio Brown. Multiple times there was domestic violence issues. Now, no charges were ever filed, but multiple domestic violence issues in terms of stuff that was out there where he had issues with the police. He didn't pay a chef. He didn't pay a guy that put a fish tank at his house with piranhas. Didn't pay that guy, and the fish tank got all gross, and they had to bring the guy in. Still didn't pay that guy. He's getting sued by a doctor that was putting together diets and nutrition plans for him. Didn't pay that guy. And there's the civil suit going on. Don't you think some of the guys in the locker room are going to look around and be like, was this worth it to bring this guy in here? The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board. What do you make of all the issues now with Antonio Brown? Was this worth it for the Patriots? You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
I don't think any of us had any doubts about AB's skill set. You know, I think it was just good. I think for everybody to see it in actual game, like he continues to be who we expect him to be, and that's a great wide receiver, a good football player. And for us, it's a tremendous asset. You know, it takes a huge stress off of the offensive linemen, the running backs, everybody. There's no way you could pinpoint one facet of our offense to try to shut us down, as you see. As you just saw, it's pretty tough to try to contain us. So with him, he's a huge help. We're glad to have him.
All right, that was Josh Gordon after the game yesterday. First question, he was asked about Antonio Brown. We had somebody call up and say that the guys aren't going to be asked about Antonio Brown. Are you kidding me? They're going to be asked about him over and over and over again. That's the reality of the situation. 617-779-7937 is the number. We also had people calling up saying that Antonio Brown was a good teammate yesterday. Okay, so he's a good teammate on Sunday. You do realize that this is the same Antonio Brown that didn't show up to practice in Week 17 last year, a game that they were getting ready to play where the Steelers, that they needed to win to stay in the playoff hunt. He just didn't show up. Dude was AWOL, didn't show up to practice. So, yeah, he's a good teammate right now. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Now, I think he's going to be fine here in terms of what he does in terms of on-the-field stuff, and I don't think he's going to be an issue in the locker room whatsoever because he realizes if it doesn't work here, this dude is screwed. But I'm just saying, if he gets out of line at all, if he has any of his diva qualities where he's complaining about targets or if he shows up late to a meeting or he's not paying attention in a meeting, these guys will start to turn on him really quickly because they barely know the guy and they're already having to deal with all his baggage by answering questions each and every day about him. Let's get to Willie. He's in Maine. What's up, Willie?
Yeah, about Josh Gordon, about Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I'm super happy the Patriots are 2-0. But Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown is nobody you want to be around. I don't think anybody you want to be around. His family, nothing. But I just hope he finishes this season with us because, I mean, Tom Brady, it's a present for him. And so even though he's a horrible person, just let Tom Brady enjoy the time because he's a super talented person and finish the season. That's it.
Yeah, let's hope so, Willie. Grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. Let's hope that he stays on the straight and narrow and he doesn't do anything stupid, Antonio Brown. But based on his past, we've seen he's had a lot of issues as a teammate and off the field throughout his NFL career. Now, here's one thing I want to get to real quickly before I go. So we are starting to hear the 16-0 buzz. Can the Patriots go 16-0 again? Now, it's interesting to me because Tom Brady was asked about this earlier today on the Greg Hill Show, and he said, it's impossible to even think about that. I don't even think a week ahead. And I believe when Tom Brady says that, that they think about it one game at a time, right? But here's what I found interesting is if you look at this the other day against the Miami Dolphins, in that game, the Patriots had Tom Brady on the football field when they were up 37-0. They had the defense on the field, the starting guys on the defense, right? Jamie Collins had that interception with, 4 seconds left, and he ran off the field. It was awesome, right? So they had the starters on the field at the end of the game. And Belichick said today on OMF that essentially they were doing that because they wanted to play 60 minutes of football. And last year, they lost with 7 seconds left in the game, right? They didn't finish the job. So he wanted to set that in his guy's head, finish the job. So no matter what happened, Brady was going to finish the game, and the starting guys from a defensive perspective were going to finish the game. And when I look at this whole 16-0 thing, I believe that the guy that wants to do it is Belichick, that Belichick wants to go 16-0. Think about this. He just goes out and he signs Antonio Brown, who everybody around the league knows comes with a ton of baggage, and you think about what he's doing in week 2 of the season. He's making sure that his team absolutely stomps on its opponent. And
playing
who is the opponent?
Playing 60 minutes.
Damn right. That's Belichick. So if you look at the Miami Dolphins, who's their who's their head coach? Former Patriots assistant Brian Flores. He is running up the score against one of his former assistant coaches, Brian Flores, who he didn't have an issue with. Remember, he had an issue with Mangini back in the day, so you could see it. But he's running up the score against one of his former assistant coaches, and he goes out there and he signs a guy like Antonio Brown with all this different type of baggage. Bill Belichick looks at the schedule. He says, okay, I'm going out of the time zone once to play Bill O'Brien, who is a former assistant of mine who can't run his nose, so that's a win. He looks at this. He says, what else have I done? What else do I need to achieve in my career? I have 6 Super Bowl rings. I'm the greatest coach in the history of the sport. But I guarantee you that it eats at Brady as well. But it eats at Belichick that 2007, they didn't finish that perfect season. And he sees this as the opportunity to do it. And he saw Antonio Brown as the piece that completely puts that team over the top. So Belichick, when this team gets to 8-0, when they get to 9-0, he's going to laugh it off, saying he's not thinking about it whatsoever. But Belichick, this is my theory. Belichick's the one that wants to get to 19-0. Belichick's the one that wants to make up for what happened in 2007 with the perfect season. And this was his opportunity to do it. Why is he running up the score against his former assistant coach, Brian Flores? Why is he going out and getting a guy with all this baggage? He wants to go 17-0. All right, thanks to Nick for producing. We'll send it over to CBS Sports Radio. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.